I trust you all are enjoying this beautiful summer we're having. I've been informed that school starts in, 6 weeks? The kids rejoice. No, the parents rejoice. But in light of school and, you know, we get a little break from studies, but we can't have a break from that fundamental question. That quiz, or the question that we will all be asked, every one of us, believer or not, because there's a guarantee that when we take our last breath and our soul departs from this sack of flesh, which will be resurrected one day, we will be face to face with a person, a human and divine person named Jesus. It's a guarantee, believer or not, and he's going to ask a question. Who am I? Do you know me? And based on our response is how we determine where we go after that. So it's an important question. It's the only question that really matters. We have to do our homework, kids, and study for tests. But at the end of the day, the only question that matters is Jesus asks us, who am I to you? And where are we in relationship with him? So, when Jesus reveals himself to us in the gospel, which is what he came to do, right? To reveal the love of the Father, perfectly revealed God himself, which we couldn't figure out on our own. We could know that there was a God and that he's all powerful. This is just by logic, which he put into our brains. But beyond that, we couldn't know much until Jesus came as God himself and began to reveal, this is who I am. So it's very important that we listen when Jesus says these two words, I am blank, 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 blank. Because that's what he's saying. We're going to get down to the core of it. This is what you're going to need to know for the final exam. Who I am. Not just in an intellectual sense. Who I am to you or for you or in relationship with you. You all recall that there are how many references in the Gospel of John? How many I am statements? I talked about it a couple months ago or a year, I don't remember. Seven times where Jesus says these very profound, and John, the gospel writer, that, oh, I got to make sure and get these down, right? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? I am the bread of life. I don't remember the others. They don't remember what I say at Mass either, so don't worry. But there were seven where Jesus says, I am the gate, for example, to help us to understand how we are to be in relationship, that he is the way, that he is the passageway to the divine. But what we have today in the gospel is the most profound, in a sense, reference to who he is at the depths of his being. It's the one time in scripture, in the gospels, where he references his own heart. And we should say to ourselves, I better pay attention. Because Jesus is talking about his heart, and I better listen, because we can rattle off the seven I ams on Judgment Day, and that will help us a lot. But I think the most profound response is, no, at my heart, the level of my heart, who am I, or who was I, or am I for you? So this 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew is profound and deeply important, because it speaks of what his heart is like. And what is the response? And Jesus says, what's my heart like? We would say, it is, you are meek and humble. Okay, good. You passed the test. Welcome to paradise. He says, I am meek and humble of heart. As he calls those who labor and are burdened. I think this gospel, by the way, is more applicable today than perhaps ever. 2,000 years ago, it was spoken and written, put down into words shortly thereafter. Written for a time where labor and burdens weigh heavily upon God's people. How do we know this? There's more medication being given out than ever before, and it's not bad, I'm just saying. There's more anxiety than ever before. There's more insomnia than ever before. God's people are burdened. And so am I. And if you're not, God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing. Or wake up to reality. But we're burdened. He knew we would be. That we would labor in this life and grind and out and have heavy burdens on our shoulders, some heavier than others, different times in our lives, but nevertheless. So Jesus says, come to me if you labor and are burdened. So if you labor and are burdened, Jesus is extending a beautiful invitation to come to his heart. And he says, when you find it, you will find it like this. It's meek. Does anybody know what the definition of meek is? Too many questions today, I know. I didn't. I'm reading the gospel this morning. It's always one of those adjectives that I can't quite figure out. It sounds like weak. It sounds like something that's not that great. Until you look it up in Webster's dictionary and your Google machine. And among a couple of definitions, one spits out that I think is most profound in this context. To be meek means to be easily imposed upon. So when Jesus says, if you labor and are burdened, come to me into my heart, it's meek. It's easily imposed upon. You can put everything on it and I will gladly accept it, easily, happily, so you don't have to carry it anymore. Or I'll carry it with you. And in fact, he says, I will do the heavy lifting. Because that yoke of his that he refers to also in this context, right, that thing that ties two beasts of burden together for labor. Farmers used to know this well, that you would not pair two very strong oxen together. Or what would happen? They would compete with each other to see who was stronger. And that competition would create friction and they would chafe. And the yoke would become burdensome itself. So you would yoke a strong one with a weaker one who could follow. If we're chafing or burdened, it's probably because we're trying to be the strong ox. When Jesus says, no, that's my job. So that heart is filled with, it's the strongest heart, but it's also the one that's most easily imposed on. And so he says, give it to me. He means this. All your burdens, give them to me, please. And then sleep at night. We have two extraordinary examples from the 20th century. During two very extraordinary times. One was the Second World War. Dwight D. Eisenhower, Ike. He had to lead this country through and the armed forces through the Second World War. No small task. Terrible war. Brutal. And someone had to lead. Every decision had consequences. Imagine the emotional toil. To be the one who had to make those decisions and the lives that were lost. Thank God for our servicemen and women. But hope we don't have to do that again. What did he do? How did he deal with it? He was once asked by his pastor, a guy named Dean Miller. And he said this. He said, when the strain became too great and it was keeping him up, he would activate his faith in Jesus and say, Jesus, with your grace, I've done the best I can today. I need you to take over until morning. And he would sleep. While the Second World War, the most tragic and painful world event was unfolding before him on his shoulders. Jesus, I've done the best I can today. You take over until morning. It's a beautiful prayer. And perhaps even closer to our hearts, you've heard it before. There's that beautiful story told about now Saint John the 23rd, who was steering the ship during the Second Vatican Council, no small event. All the bishops of the world gathered, massive questions, where are we going from here? What's going to change? Say what you will or about it. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We trust that, and necessary, but no small burden. And that wonderful saintly Pope was once asked, you know, how did you do it? And he said this, Jesus, at the end of the long day, Jesus, I'm going to bed. It's your church. You take care of it. Now that's a profound faith and understanding that Jesus is in charge. While he places responsibility on our shoulders, at the end of the day, it's his. Jesus, this is your family. These are your kids. Take care of them. I'm going to bed and sleep. Isn't that what he wants? If you labor and are burdened, come to me, to this heart, which is easily imposed upon, and I will give you rest. He wants us to rest, to labor, to work for the kingdom, but with a heart that rests in him. And if at the end of the day we meet him face to face and he says, so who am I? You're the one that I loaded all my burdens on. Everything, every day. What's he going to say? You should have worked harder, you German Russians. Done it yourself. You didn't work hard enough. No. He's going to say, you didn't give me enough. You didn't put enough on my shoulders. I already carried the cross. Every sin, every ounce of anxiety, you name it, on that cross. Why didn't you give me yours? What do you think I carried it for? That's going to be our response, or his. And not only for our peace, but if we want peace in our households, then we need to have restful hearts who trust and abandon themselves and surrender everything to the Lord. There was a little story told. Woman comes to a doctor and her husband had just had an exam. He said, how's he doing? He said, your husband needs a lot more rest and peace in his life. Here are some anxiety and sleeping pills. Well, the wife said, well, when do I give them to him? How many? At what time of the day? And does he eat with them or not? He said, no, they're not for him. They're for you. She had become a burden to him because of her lack of peace. So we shouldn't want peace just because the human heart desires it and we love it. Those people sitting around us need us to have restful hearts, because we can be a burden to others when we're not offloading everything on Jesus every day or every minute of every day. Who am I? Jesus asks. What's my heart like? It's meek. It's easily imposed upon, so we might as well impose on it everything, and sleep, and rest, and enjoy this wonderful life he's given us. God bless you.